Good morning. Great to be here. Always great to be able to share the Word of God. And I titled it, as you can see, Seasons. And after 43 years of being in the workforce, I'm finally going to retire this year. So thank you. And for those of you retired, you know how great it is. So still negotiating whether it's my original date of July or September, but it'll be this year nonetheless. So and it's amazing that it's happened so fast, and started recollecting it's been 37 years since we started Living Way Church. And that was, it's been quite a trip. It's amazing that it's been 37 years. So what we plan to do is actually taking a vacation in May and June, so for a month, going to Europe, so I won't be around, being gone a lot of Sundays, and that's nice because I'll still be getting paid while I'm on vacation of all the years I never got to take vacation. And then after Labor Day, gonna take off in a trailer, travel trailer, and go across the country, see our son David and grandchildren and all that in DC, but take our time and come back Thanksgiving. So I thought I'd let everyone know, since you all know I'm an elder, that I wouldn't be around for a while, and that's because we're going to be enjoying parts of our retirement and parts of traveling right away, especially air travel, since I enjoy rock star status right now with Delta and roadie status with American. So that won't happen after you stop spending. Then all of a sudden they forget your name. So that'll be nice. I don't want to. I have to work into the shock of flying like a mere mortal, right? It's kind of hard. So, back in December of 1985, we came here to Living Way Church, and what really attracted me to it was the Bible and their love of the Word of God. And Pastor Doug was a young whippersnapper back then. And I remember coming in, one of the first sermons was, that we needed to love the Word of God and the whole counsel of God, not just take a snippet and run with it. And I remember that the psalm stuck with me, Psalm 32:8. It's not up there. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That really struck me. It's going to teach me personally. And so I got to be a teacher here. Kathy and I, my wife, we taught covenants for 20 years or so, something like that. Started out as catechism, and we used to do it catechism, like Westminster Catechism. What is the chief call of man? You know, to give glory to God and to enjoy Him always. First one of the Westminster, give glory to God with your life and enjoy Him always. So did that, and then I think it was 1996, became an elder. Here, so it started in 87, or 86, then 10 years later became an elder here. And what we found here, I grew up Catholic, and so very, very much into Catholicism, but things were happening, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on. Campus Crusade exploded, and so did the Newman Center, which was the Catholic equivalent of Campus Crusade, and it was all during the Jesus movement and the charismatic Catholics and all that. And we had more desire when Kathy and I got married. We actually went to the church that we both went to UCLA, and we went to the church there and wanted to go to Bible study. The priest there was someone that I knew from high school that was ordained, and we'd go there, and we were the only young people there. It would be, other older people. But we had a hunger for the Word of God. So when here, it was just, oh my gosh, this is where we need to be. And so it's impossible for me to think or believe that our footsteps are not orchestrated by God. It just didn't happen that way. So, I mean, God put us here for a reason. So, what did I learn at Living Way Church? First time I came here again, being Catholic, then now being into a, not even a Protestant, but beyond that, a charismatic and charismatic church and a Protestant church, obviously, just had a freedom. And so, you know, the first thing I picked up was delight yourself in the Lord. And that comes out of Psalms 37, 3 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. The neat part about that scripture, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Once you love the Lord, once you start reading his Bible, letting it get into you, he changes the desires of your heart, which is great. And then he gives them to you. Because what do I desire? I desire to be rich. No, you maybe rich and good. He changes that. And we're at the first Saturday of the month, we were talking about prayer at the men's group. Someone just said, you know, prayer oftentimes is for us to change our heart so we can see God's answer to prayers. Because he always answers prayers. It's whether we see it or not. And that's the big thing. The other one was Psalms 37, 23, and 24. The Lord makes your steps firm for one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And as we delight ourselves with him, he actually orders every one of our steps. So there's not a whole bunch that is left to chance. And then I remember years ago, we had a retired missionary named Maynard Howe, was his name. Many of you that were here for a while remember Maynard, and he ministered to a lot of the Mennonites up in Minnesota and to the Native Americans in there. And one of the things he really instilled in me, which I just was blown away. I'd never seen it. I'd read it several times, but I'd never seen it. And he says, for we are God's, it says handiwork, but the NIV that I have in written print, you say workmanship. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Every single one of us have something that only we can do. Others can do it, but God wants us to do it. And that just is crazy, right? That God has rolled everything out and has something specifically for us. Next thing I learned here was honor God in your youth. So there in Ecclesiastes 1, 2, and 4, so don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember him before the light of the sun and the moon and the stars is dim to your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. When I was young, I couldn't really understand what that was saying, but now that things are a little dimmer, it's like, okay, I understand what that was. But a lot of it was, you know, enjoy life. Enjoy life. Enjoy where God has you. And that's another thing I learned when I came here to Living Way. You know, Doug and Val, they were the life of the party. I mean, it was crazy, and that just wasn't my background. And first time we went to game night. I was telling Christy Bradley this earlier. Oh my God, I thought they were going to come to blows. It's like, what a bonehead movie. You know, it was a lot of fun, but enjoy life. And it was real. And Ecclesiastes 9:9, it says, enjoy life with the woman you love. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. And that is so true. It's a reward for our earthly toil. Ecclesiastes 6:9, and again, this was stuff that I was just learning, not necessarily from the pulpit, but a lot of it from the pulpit, but then from class, and then from living with people, of enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. It's out of Ecclesiastes 6:9. Always good to have ambition. Not saying that, but enjoy where you are. Then it says in Ecclesiastes 5:18-19, by the way, I didn't put a lot of these up here because Daniel said, you don't even have to have slides if you don't want to. It's more of a testimony of what's going on. Ecclesiastes 5 said, even so, I have noticed one thing, at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed the gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. And it is, if you just enjoy what God has given you and where he has you, you just don't think about what could have been. And I worked in Tijuana for many years. And so not only bilingual and bicultural, understand the culture, and they don't have anything, and yet they love life. They love to party. If you ever go to any kind of outing and they have food, for 100 and only 10 people are there. That's just the way it is. And you know, it's same with the when Glory Dial was here, is to say, no self-respecting Filipino would go to a potluck without, you know, and she pulls out aluminum wrap and baggies and all this stuff because you know you're going to take stuff home. You just are. So God shows us that also in all the missions trips we get to go. So Ecclesiastes 7:13 says, accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? Got to accept where we are. Then when we do, we're so much happier. Then the next verse, the last one on this topic is Psalms 37, 25, and 26. It says, I was young and now I'm old, yet have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. They always are generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. So we continue, and you continue to lend freely, to be generous, to be a blessing, to be kind. Something, again, that I learned here at church and learned through the Word of God. The next thing I learned was it's not all for us. Not all for me to hoard it and to become fat, although I have become fat, with the Word of God. So it's the calories, right? It's cast your bread upon the waters. So Ecclesiastes 11:1-4, it says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if the tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. I like what the message, and you read the message, and it just captures the heart of what it's saying here. It says, be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. don't hoard your goods, spread them around. And I told Daniel this morning I was going to quote Hello Dolly. So most of you, a lot of you know Hello Dolly, right? They all know Hello Dolly. Well, Dolly Levi said that money is like fertilizer. It doesn't do any good until you spread it around. And that's what this is saying right here, right? Just spread it around. So don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. When clouds are full of water, it rains. When the wind blows down a tree, it lies where it falls. Don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. And again, that's casting your bread, giving of yourself. And I learned a lot of that here at Living Way. We gave a lot. And again, I call it seasons because there's seasons in your life, seasons in the church. We took a lot of missions trips, a lot. I was bilingual, and I got to go to a lot of the Latin American countries that we went. But we went to Mexico, all over the place in Mexico. Went to Peru, went there with our first missionaries, Blair and Karen Smith. And we went there when Robert Barriger was the sound man, first time I went there. So we've been to Peru three times. We went to Joanne and Bruce Balcom were our missionaries to Peru. Went to Argentina, Honduras, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Guatemala, the Ukraine, Ireland, Canada, China, Hong Kong, Guangzhou, different places in China, Japan, Kenya, Ghana, Kosovo, Turkey, all these places Living Way, and they were casting their bread. And I went to Mexico several times, and I went to Peru three times. Every single time we'd go up, do you remember me? Unfortunately, I didn't, but your group did this, and now this happened. So we had an impact not only on the nations, but also on ourselves. We had that impact. And we obviously had outreaches here locally, and we had churches like Living Way Maui and like Fusion, people that were brought up here. And so that was something that we cast our bread. They'll never pay us back, but we got so much more than they could ever give us. So much more. And then this one, there's a season to everything. And everyone's going to recognize this song as he plays it. I couldn't resist just playing it. So go ahead, Daniel. How many people have heard that song before? Yeah, right? Heard it. I love the title. I looked at the album, and it said it was written by Pete Seeger with words from Ecclesiastes. So from the Bible, Ecclesiastes. So at least he wrote the song. But there's a guy named Chris Hillman who who actually was one of the founders of the Byrds as part of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you wouldn't have had like the Eagles and groups like that that brought in that type of music. But music used to be, it was sacred. All music in the 1800s was written for God, same with art. And we sort of abdicated that. But it was not uncommon to have stuff come out of the gospel. But the part of the seasons, again, the church goes through the seasons. And we used to have presbyteries here. How many people remember presbyteries when we had that? And the prophecy of God. And I know Daniel's going to speak in a few weeks here when, you know, where Saul is prophesying. You know, Saul among the prophets. And I got to go and do that. And it was real. As I would interpret, I could tell what the Moses Fay or Doug Balcom or Steve Fitzpatrick or whoever that needed to be translated into Spanish. You know, I got with that with the program. And prophecy, a lot of the times when we've gone on the missions field, you know, we're less inhibited. We're in our area with the Spirit is upon us, and people have prophesied. And I remember my wife prayed with a young lady. She didn't know she spoke English. And after her English prayer, said, "Wow, I've been praying about that." I saw that lady the next time I was in Uruapan, and she had just come up and just said, "Hey, just giving you a continuation of what happened." So prayer and prophecy works, and it's real. And some of us have. I've never considered myself a prophet. Pastor Doug definitely has the mantle of a prophet. But when we went to the Ukraine, how many crazy people went to the Ukraine? One, that's it. Okay, so there was a group of us. We left on December 26th. The biggest testimony we had was the fact that we were in the frozen north in December. Who comes and visits us in December when it was freezing cold? But we were in Poltava, and I remember, again, not a prophet, but I remember a vision of someone putting a big staff or something in the snow, in the ice, it breaking open, all this slush coming up, and just said, "I don't know if Zebulun means anything to this church, but you guys are going to be a safe harbor, like Naphtali and Zebulun." So Naphtali and Zebulun is where Jesus grew up, in that area, but they were there. So, you know, afterwards, the pastor came up and he spoke Russian, not Ukraine, but I thought he was, like, very upset because he's talking and Alex was translating. I thought he was like, oh, I messed up. And they had been praying that exact thing, that they would be a safe harbor. So prophecy is real. And again, it's a season as we get more and more into prophecy and into that and just open ourselves up to that. And so it might be a while since we've done that. It might be we haven't gone on a mission trip for a while, but Bill's going on a mission trip. And so who knows what that's going to bring? You know, and it's, don't despise the small beginnings. It's a season that we all go through, and we're going through that again. And I'm excited for what is going to be happening, and I'm excited for what is happening. And then the last thing is be ready for the coming move of God. God is definitely always moving. I was, before I do that, I just wanted to get back to the seasons. In there, Chris Hillman was one of the founders of the Byrds, and he's the one that, you know, said, "Hey, we're going to do this song, Turn, Turn, Turn." Big hit. Everyone was singing it. Also, the Jesus movement. But a few years later, he sang and wrote a song called Clear Sailings. And in this, His words were, "Yes, I've turned my back on you, Jesus, and I hope you understand. Seems like everybody's got an answer and nobody's got a plan. 'Cause I felt buried, buried alive. Satan, I sure know your sign. And this falling deep inside me makes me want to shrivel up and die. And I still find myself asking why." So this guy, after doing what was in the pit of despair, I remember the song, I remember the tune. If you look it up and play it, those of us, all right, you'll remember. Oh yeah, I remember singing along to it. I don't know what that, I didn't know what those words are. But they interviewed him later on, and Chris Hillman says, "I think that I had to go through all those steps," said Hillman. "There was the old, if only I hadn't done that, or I hadn't have done this one time. Yes, but I think God put me in each of those places, and each time I had to learn and to move forward so I could get to where I am now." And he was a very devout Christian at the end of his life, and you know, worked with still in the music industry with a lot of people that weren't Christian. And so interesting that, again, it was a season, and he gave himself to God, but he had to work through that. And so many times when we're going to encounter people, we don't know where God has them, right? So we need to be ready for that move of God. In Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Also says that in 1 Peter 3:15, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." 2 Timothy 2:24, 25 says, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people." There aren't any difficult people out there, right? "So gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth." Just like Chris Hillman, we didn't know where he was, but you just keep on presenting the Lord of the God. Keep on showing love. And Jim Peters, many of you remember Jim Peters, went to be with the Lord a couple years ago, always used to say, "Preach the gospel, and when all else fail, use words." Should be your life, preaching the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15, it's not up there. It says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." That word defense, where it's time, it's apologia, where we get apologetics. And we're not supposed to go in there as a defense attorney or a prosecuting attorney, but we're supposed to go in as a witness. And we're just saying, "Here's what God has done to me." We're not out to win an argument, because you're not going to argue anyone into Christ. You're out to say, "This is what I've experienced. I don't know about you, but it's real." So what we don't want to do is close ourselves off now, or let our mouth disqualify us. I remember when we first started coming to church, I remember a bumper sticker with, there was controversy because NIV was relatively new. I remember a bumper sticker, "If King James Bible was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me." It's like, oh my God. Just written a few thousand years later. Or here's one to accept debate. "God said it. I believe it. That settles it." Okay, I'm going to ask you about it. I mean, we can't close ourselves off with our attitudes and everything. So how many people saw the Jesus Revolution? A lot of you saw the Jesus Revolution. Those of you that are older, you need to go see the Jesus Revolution. If you didn't, raise your hand. Took place at Pastor Doug's high school, Harbor High, at the time he was there, right in the 70s. And it's about you know, that the Times article, it's written by Greg Laurie, about the Times article named under the same thing. And in it, it's about the hippies and that whole movement. And that's when I was growing up. I was very young at the time, but still growing up at it. And our church is an offshoot of that because it opened the door to have non-denominational churches, because there weren't a lot of independent churches. There just weren't. And our covenants class was, you know, Charles Green in New Orleans. Word of Faith, I think, is the name of the church. I can't remember what the name of the church, but it was all written, and it was written for primarily the charismatic Catholics. And it's just the sound word of God. But, you know, Kelsey Graham does an excellent job. In fact, if you see him on Good Morning America, he just, although he's a really good actor, but he just can't stop crying, just saying it's the best work he's ever done, portraying Chuck Smith. But there's a real powerful scene in there where all the hippies are there. And he said, I was just in New York, and the Statue of Liberty says, give me your masses. Or give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe. And he does the analogy of, isn't that what it's like here with the church? He goes, if you feel like you're an outcast, then join us here. If you feel like you're misunderstood and judged, this is where you belong. If you feel ashamed or trapped in something you've done or are doing, you will find forgiveness and freedom here. It's very, very powerful. And at that time, he says, you know, the door's open, works both ways. And the real telling, he goes, so if this is the move of God. If you can't deal with it, the door's open, it works both ways. And it's a very haunting scene where a group of the church members just couldn't handle it and walked out. And then there's another guy that comes in and embraces it. And later on, there's a scene where his daughter, Chuck Smith's daughter, is saying, you know, you took a chance, you let the hippies in, and as it turns out, Jesus came with them. And we need to take a chance. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. A lot of things. You know, at that time, it was sex and drugs and rock and roll. People were looking for truth. Timothy Leary said, you're going to be reborn with an LSD, a trip. They were looking for things in all the wrong places, but they opened it. And it's such a, you know, right now, we have the same thing in our nation. There's a comedian who said recently, it was something I saw that I will not recommend, but he said, you know, America's addiction, our worst addiction is not opioids. It's not drugs. It's attention. We are addicted to attention. We've got our Twitter feed. I ate this. We've got all of this stuff with attention. We're not talking to each other. We're not, you know, co-mingling anymore. And that's a whole generation that's gonna get up there. And so we need to understand that that's there. And we need to be open to it, because we cannot. A preacher from that time was recollecting that they went to a university up north. Again, all of the Jesus movement people were there. They had a great worship service and everything. This evangelist, well-known evangelist, just got up there, and the first thing he did is, Jesus loves you and everything, and you have to stop sex out of wedlock. The crowd left. It's the word of God, but we can't clean the fish before we catch them. Got to catch them first and bring them in. It's not that we approve of that, and it's not that we're not going to preach them, but you need to let the Holy Spirit do that, right? You need to let that happen from the Holy Spirit. So we need to know our audience. We need to know who we are, and be open and loving so that they hear the word of God. And it's uncomfortable. it really is uncomfortable. But how else are they going to know the Word of God? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I'm not going to talk to you. And yet there's stuff out there that is just ridiculous. But you don't compromise, but you're open. And you know what? God can turn the nation like that. In a heartbeat, He can change our attitudes, the nation. A few of you probably saw, if you're NFL fans, which I know one that isn't, turns off the TV anytime the NFL comes out. But a young man, Damar Hamlin, belongs to the Buffalo Bills, was defensive guy, hit, and he died on the field, had his heart stopped. And they resuscitated him on the field. And I'm going to play this thing from ESPN today. Okay, so this is ESPN NFL. Want to play that?
Still critical condition for Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin. Millions of us watched together as he went into cardiac arrest and collapsed on the football field during Monday night NFL. His family is finally speaking out. We're hearing from them. First, thanking fans across America for their outpouring love and support. ESPN analyst Dan Orlovsky, a former NFL quarterback, making thoughts and prayers very real during the NFL Today broadcast. Here he is.
And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but I want to, it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it is.
Damar Hamlin right now and pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 Amen. All 32 NFL teams have changed their Twitter profile pictures to Hamlin's number 3 with the quote, pray for Damar. The outpouring of support reflected in the headlines. A football can wait for Damar Hamlin. A United America prays for Damar Hamlin. And today's New York Post sports cover says it all, America's son.
That was 1 second in time. I mean, it took. He got up, fell down. And it was the buzz, if you remember, those of you that are football fans, for that whole week about praying for it. And Troy Aikman was in the booth, and he had an interview later on about what they were doing. They didn't know what was happening, but there were people praying. There were people praying. So God can turn us so quickly. And for the NFL, who is not a Christian association, you know, it's not, it, for them to do that is just incredible. And to have it on all of them, they weren't asked to. Every single one of them said, pray for Damar as part of it. So can God just change our hearts overnight? He certainly can. The question is, can we be ready for it? Can we be there? You know, it many times it was in Christianity Today talks about that and all the background of what went on before this even happened. Not that they were planning for this, but all of the Christian athletes that are out there that have been professing their faith. You saw them all kneeling in the background, right? They weren't kneeling to protest the United States. They were kneeling in submission to God, and asking for Him. And there's so many Christians out there, so many, and it made it possible. And Christianity Today just said something. It's like, people need to know that many times God answers prayer through people. So God can change us like that. In a heartbeat, He can change the nations. The question is, how are we going to receive it? Because it's uncomfortable. The things that we're dealing with our uncomfortable gender identity, you know, and the drug addiction. We years ago, some of you that were here, I know you know, we had guys that came in, they had big t-shirts they did at the old firehouse, Alcoholics for Christ. Remember that group? They came in here, made some people uncomfortable, but they had an addiction, they had a weakness, and we had open arms with them and loved them. And that's what we need to do. That's what this church has always done, is just opened its doors, opened its heart, and we're real, have been real people. And it's been my pleasure as this last, you know, these last 37, 38 years working with, alongside with Doug and then with his son. I was thinking he was old enough that he was never in the nursery, so I never had to change his diaper. So that was a good thing. He was old, but, so he's never in there, but, all our six kids went through this to church here, and had you know learned the Bible here and learned of God's word. And it's great to be part of the family. Great to be part of family. But it's always good to remember the things that that we've done as a family. And it's amazing what we've done as a family. And I know when we get up to heaven, it's going, you remember that you came to that or whatever? And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be glorious. But I thank God that, you know, we have a church that loves God, that loves people. And again, what is it? The first catechism, what's the chief end to man? To glorify God and to enjoy him. How you are going to glorify God individually, well, that's up to God who preordained your steps and up to you to do it. But God has a plan for each and every one of us, and we all go through seasons of life. So again, you know, it's still going to be around, but just wanted to explain a little bit of why I wasn't around, and also just to reminisce a little bit on the journey that I've had here at Living Way Church. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this congregation, for this family, Lord, that you order each and every one of our steps, that you've put each and every person here, each and every personality here, and that you have something in store just for us individually. And collectively, Lord, just help us again to just see the times, see your move, be grateful for your move. And Lord, just let us have the attitude of how can we be part of it? How can we bring glory to you so that we can enjoy you all of our lives? In Jesus' name, amen.